Amen, amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to begin the book of Jude. And then we are going to flip over to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. Praise God. Jude, and then Ephesians 6. Praise the Lord. Amen. I am trying to baby my voice, and I make no promises tonight, but we'll see what the Lord would have, and I don't have many notes, but I do have something burning on the inside. Praise God. Remember, this coming Friday, we have prayer chain. I do have schedules. I will go over that a little bit at the end of service, and then I will put these over on the side, so if you miss something, you can come check it out. And I just, praying today, felt that I, going into this prayer chain, that we should just talk about prayer today. Amen. So, Jude. Chapter number 1, verse number 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's a commandment. He's telling us to do some things. Building up yourselves. This is the way you're going to do it. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I think that's very pivotal, important, essential. Praying in the Holy Ghost. That's more than just speaking words. That's more than just being repetitive. That's more than just sitting and meditating. It's praying in the Holy Ghost. That's where we've got to get to build up ourselves, praying in the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 18. Praying always. Now, we know we're supposed to pray in the Holy Ghost, but here he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So we're back there praying in the Holy Ghost. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Amen. Praise God. And so we're just going to talk about praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. God of heaven, we love you and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the goodness. We thank you for your help, for your strength. I pray, God, that you would help us, talk to us, deal with us. Open up your word unto us. Open up our minds. Help us, God, to deposit this word down into our minds and let it sink down, saturate all the way down into the heart. The heart would be receptive, not too hard, but it would be receptive. And that we would walk away changed, that we would be doers of your word and not just hearers only. We thank you and we give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And God bless you and you may be seated. Praise God. The Greek word translated prayer here in Ephesians chapter number 6 is, I don't claim to be a Greek scholar, prosukamai or something like that. I know that's the way they would say it down south. Prosukamai. And this word is restricted in the New Testament to mean prayer to God. Prayer to God. And it takes cognizance of God's power and sufficiency. So in prayer to God, there is a measure of faith that is mixed with this prayer, in that we are cognizant, conscious, aware attributing this to God, that God's power is sufficient and that His ways are sufficient. And that is the way that our prayer to God is to be. Not in doubt, not in fear, but that our prayer to God takes into consideration that God's ability is sufficient to answer my prayer. John chapter 14, verse 14, he said, Jesus said that whatsoever you would ask in my name, I will do it. There's nothing that is too hard for God, nothing that is too big for God, and there is nothing that is too small or too trivial for God. Prosecu also gives prominence to the devotional side of prayer, and that's what we should be involved in daily, devotional prayer. And so it is no wonder that Satan feels threatened when the true saint of God begins to pray. Because when they begin to pray, they have a confidence that God is hearing their prayer and that God is able to answer their prayer. Let me give you an example. There are times that you just need to talk to somebody. You're bothered, you're stressed out, you're worried, you're overwhelmed, you're anxious, you're whatever it is, and you just feel the pressure there, and you just need to talk to somebody. And so you may talk to your spouse, you may talk to your friend, you may talk to a brother or a sister in the church. You may talk to somebody that you have confidence in, family member, something like that, but you just need to talk. That does not mean that the person that you're talking to has the ability, has the capacity to help you. That does not mean that the person that you're talking to, that you have the confidence that they have the answer that you need. It does not mean that the person that you are confiding in possesses the power or the ability or the sufficiency to fix or to help your situation. You just need to talk to somebody. That's not the way that we come before God. When we come before God, that's not that we're just coming to before God and saying, God, I just need somebody to talk to. And I'm thankful that He is there for us to talk to. I'm thankful that He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm thankful that He's as close as the mention of His name. I'm thankful that He hears me every time that I pray. If it's 3 o'clock in the morning, if it's 7 o'clock in the morning, or if it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, God hears me when I pray. But when I pray to God, it's more than just, I need somebody to unload on. This is, I'm coming to you, God, because I believe that you possess the ability to fix this situation. You possess the power to take care of this situation. You have the way to inform me of the answer to this situation. And there are times that we go to God because that we are overwhelmed and stressed. But even then, in reality, it's not that we're going to Him just because we need to vent a little bit. We're going to Him because we feel that God is somehow or another. I can't put my finger on it. I can't give you direct answers. I can't give you an order of explanation and stuff. But somehow or another, God is going to come through. And there's just something that's a little bit more than when I talk to my spouse and I unload and just let them know. And I feel better when it's all said and done. It has not rectified the problem, fixed the problem, diminished the problem. It hasn't done anything like that. But when I go to God in faith believing, and I begin to pray, when I walk away from there, that does not mean that the problem is fixed, the situation is handled, or that the answer, amen, is there and that I have it. But when I walk away, I know that at any given moment, it can be done. It can be over. The situation can be finalized. It can be taken care of. And that's the way that we need to go to God in prayer if we're going to go to God in faith believing. Praise God. And in understanding this, when you pray, you must understand and take into consideration that as you pray, your enemy knows that you are at the throne room of God. And in reality, you are at the foot of the throne of God. And the enemy knows that your very answer can come at any moment. And therefore, he's going to oppose you. And that's why when you're praying, you're going to remember the to-do list of everything that you need to do. And you probably need to go ahead and write that down so you don't forget it. And that's why when you go to prayer, amen, and then all of a sudden things begin to happen. Your phone rings or your phone buzzes or somebody calls and they got to talk to you. Something happens and a kid outside screams or whatever. And then you just feel like you got to do something. When you're praying and you should be talking to God and you realize, you know what, this place needs vacuumed and that picture needs straightened. And this needs thrown in the trash, and this needs done over here, and the clothes, I go ahead and put a load of clothes on and go ahead and get that taken care of, and I can come back. Amen. You have an enemy that is in direct opposition of what you're doing when you go to the throne room to pray. That's one of the reasons that the Lord said, when you pray, enter into your closet. Enter into your closet. Amen. Praise God. I don't believe that you have to necessarily physically go into that closet, amen, and put your nose down in the shoes that's down inside there and find a place to pray and begin to pray like that. But what it is saying is close everything else off. Close the cares of the day off. Close the problems of the day off. You need to get in there with God and talk to Him. How many of you have ever looked at your spouse or your child or somebody and you're sitting there talking to them and you say, are you listening to me? Did you hear what I said? I'm looking at all of these spouses and they're all, are you paying attention to me? And the answer is always, of course. But, you know, I wonder how many times that God could say the same thing to us. Yeah, are you listening to me, or, you know, do you really want to talk to me, or are you distracted? I mean, did you come to talk to me, or, you know, are you just bidding time? And so we are encouraged to pray in the Holy Ghost, and in praying in the Holy Ghost, we are building up ourselves on our most holy faith. Amen. Building up ourselves. And that's what we're going to go to is you've got to get to a place in prayer that faith takes over. You begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, building up yourself on your most precious faith. And you're praying with confidence and you're praying with authority. I am not one. I do not believe that we need to be commanding the Lord to do this or that. And there was a place, I believe, in one of the major prophets, I think it's in Isaiah, I could be totally off, but he said, command ye my hands, and there's a question mark there, not a period. It's not that we command the hands of the Lord. You're going to do this, and, you know, I understand that we can say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be done. But I think that we need to be careful telling God what he is going to do. I think I can speak to the mountain and tell it what to do, but I don't know how much I can speak to God and tell him what he's going to do. And so I do want to pray in faith, believing, because I know that my answer is in God. I know that my faith is in God. My help cometh from the Lord. And so I'm going to pray accordingly. Praise God. And so it is not the weak and the stammering believers that Satan fears. It's not the wandering and inadequate prayer that the believer makes. The fact that a child of God is appealing to the Almighty God is what causes Satan to fear. Praise God. Praise God. Can I help you tonight? Can I help you tonight? Satan really is not afraid of you just sitting there and just meditating. He's really not. His kingdom is not shook by you just sitting there and just thinking upon the Lord. Amen. And for every scripture that you feel like you can give me, I'm going to give you multiple scriptures of completely opposites and different ways. We know that we are to pray energetically. My mind has just totally went blank right now. Fervently. Bible said that we are the effectual, fervent prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And there's actually another scripture that talks about fervent prayer. Fervent prayer. And so we could talk about that. But that is what hell is afraid of. That's what hell is afraid of. Now, with that said, let me just go ahead and say this. I believe that there's some people that can pray loud and never pray fervently. Amen. But we're not justifying just sitting there meditating on the Lord. God wants us to cry out to Him. God wants us to talk to Him. God wants us to be fervent in our prayer. Praise God. All right, let me move on. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 14. The Bible said, and these all continued in one accord and in prayer and supplication. And so this lets us know that there are two completely separate items here. Prayer and supplication. Prayer may simply imply any address unto God in the way of petition or request. But supplication is the earnest, affectionate, continued application to God for the blessings requested from Him by prayer. Prayer simply asks. Supplication expostulates, entreats, urges, re-urges the petition. Supplication is more fervent. Supplication is getting involved in that. That's where the fervency begins to be there in that. And so we are to pray, building up ourselves, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the day of Pentecost, they were praying and in supplication. Praise God. That's where that we have got to make sure that we enter into that arena. It's not just standing up and walking around and just bidding time. It's not just going through the motions. It's not just taking a position. And some would say, you know what? Well, what is all of this walking around doing? And the ones that are walking around is like, well, what is all of this sitting down doing? And the ones that are sitting down is like, what is all this kneeling down? It's not the matter of position. Even though I will say that oftentimes, in order to completely take out all distractions, it is important. Two reasons here. It is important that we find a place to kneel and to pray and to block out all side distractions and such. But also in kneeling and in praying, we are taking the form and the position of a servant unto his master. Even a knight would kneel down in front of the Lord or in front of the king. And so in kneeling in prayer, amen, we are taking that position of acknowledging him to be Lord and Savior in our lives. Praise God. Praise God. And I know that a lot of times I do walk around and pray, I can say I've got excuses or whatever, and a little bone chip in my kneecap, and it gives me problems sometimes. But there are times that I've just got to kneel down, and I've just got to pray, amen, humbling myself before the Lord and also blocking out distractions that are there. But I'm just telling you that hell is afraid of a church that knows how to pray, not just talk, not just walk around, not just go through the motions. Hell is afraid of a church that knows how to pray. Hell's afraid of a church that's not afraid to pray. Amen. That is willing to take a knee and to pray. That is willing to shut off all distractions and begin to fervently seek the face of God. Hell's not afraid of one that just meditates. But when that one begins to utter the praise and begins to enter into prayer and supplication and begins to pray, there's nothing that can take the place of a praying mother. Nothing that can take the place of a praying daddy that can take spiritual authority over spirits that are bothering the family. Amen. Mothers of Zion, amen, that'll get down and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, binding spirits that are trying to invade the church, trying to get a hold of the young people. God, give us people that have got a burden to pray. And you get a burden to pray because you know what prayer can do. I know that when I pray, all of hell can begin to tremble. I know that when I begin to pray, chains can begin to break. Amen. Bonds are begin to be loosened. Amen. Answers begin to come. And sometimes I don't even know, but God uses prayer of the saints to fix situations, even in other places. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, let's get to where I want to go tonight. And I'm going to bring this out probably in a month and a half to 2 months. I'm going to bring this out further. It's in part of my holiness series that I am currently working on. But it's right here for prayer as well. Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Now, first of all, in verse number 5, he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Praise God. Let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. Verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. So there's three modes of prayer right there. You got prayer, you got supplication, you got thanksgiving. So be careful, nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, I want to stop there and remind us that this is a letter. This is a flowing letter. This is not a verse-by-verse proverb that we just read one verse and look at it as a proverb and read the next verse and look at it as a proverb and then move on. But this is a flowing structural letter. So he said, let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. And be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And having done that, when you, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, when you let your requests be made known unto God, having done that, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Now, there is a boatload for us to unpack right there. And I'm not going to unpack it all because we're going to save it for later on. But I think that it is extremely important to take a look at this and to see. We can look at the results and then let's go back and find out what caused the results. He said, and the peace of God, which passeth understanding, here's the result, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's the results. What happened? The previous verse tells us what happened. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And here's what's going to happen. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, that passeth all logic, that passes all comprehensive abilities, that passes all educational moments, degrees of education, defying logic, defying degrees of associates or masters or doctorates. It makes no, no understanding. The peace which passeth understanding. That simply means that you could have understanding if you say, well, you know what? I got peace because I got an answer. But there is a peace that passes logic, that passes the comprehensive abilities that prayer invokes when you have touched the Lord. And when you have prayed unto Christ Jesus with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, the Bible said, amen, the Bible said that the peace of God, which passeth understanding, enters into your life. I don't have an answer yet, but I've got a peace. I don't have a problem solved, but I've got a peace. The situation hasn't been fixed, but I got a peace. Amen. The things have not changed. The circumstances have not changed. Everything is still the same, but I got a peace about it now. Friend, when you've got a peace about it, you've got the devil on the run, and you've got the devil when you don't have a peace about it. And when there is confusion that is involved in it, then Satan still has his hand in it somewhere or another. You've got to find a place alone with God, and you've got to pray and pray with importunity and pray until you've got a peace about it, until you can stand and say, I don't understand it, I don't have an answer, but one thing I am confident about, and that is that God hath given me a peace about it, and everything is going to be okay. Praise God. Praise God. Did God heal your cancer? No, God has not healed my cancer. But then you can be like Job, and you can say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I don't know if healing is in the answer. I don't know if this is just what's going to take me in the end, but I've got a peace about it. How did you get a peace about it? I got in the Holy Ghost. I began to pray in the Holy Ghost. And you know what now? The devil does not have access to my mind. Fear has got to get out. Depression has got to go, because the peace that passes understanding shall keep your heart and mind.
Oh, yeah. I would venture to say that the majority of the anxiety, the majority of the emotional duress that we experience and that we fight, that we come across, that we confront, is right between our ears. It's the enemy that is in our mind. It is that constant enemy's reluctance to leave you alone. And you go to bed with the problem on your mind. And you wake up in the middle of the night with the problem in your mind. And you wake up in the morning time, and the first thing that you think of is the issue and the problem. And it's the devil continually ruling, reigning, and running your mind. You have no peace. You have no rest. You have no moments that you can just get away. Amen. But your answer is when you get back to the house of God, or when you find your place at your house, and you get down on your old prayer bones, and you say, devil, this means war. And I'm going to the place of prayer. I'm going before the throne of God. And I'm going to pray. God, I don't have an answer for this, but I know that you do. I know that all things are in your hands. I know that you do all things, and that you do all things well. I know that nothing is impossible for you to do. I know that we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. I don't have an answer, but I've got a problem. And when I enter, or when I walk away from this place, I'm expecting to have a peace about it. Come on, somebody. That's what the Bible says, that when you have went to God and you have prayed in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, sometime or another, God's going to step in. And when God steps in, devil, you got to go. When God steps in, fear, you got to go. When God steps in, duress, you got to go. When God steps in, anxiety, you got to go. When God steps in, the peace of God that passeth understanding is able to keep our minds and our hearts through Christ Jesus. Ah, devil, you ain't paying the rent around here. Yeah, you're an imposter. Yeah, you don't belong here. You don't live. Some of you need to tell the devil to get out of your mind, because the devil's been living in your mind. The devil's been making you and causing you to live in fear and live in anxiety and live in depression. But that devil doesn't belong in your mind. Amen. You need to go back to the Lord. And the Bible says that finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true and honest and pure, and whatsoever things are just and lovely and of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You got a responsibility. If it's good, think on it. If it's bad, kick it out. If it's pure, think on it. If it's impure, kick it out. If it's just, think on it. If it's unjust, kick it out. You cannot allow the devil to run your thoughts.
Hell, devil gonna come back knocking. I just thought I'd come back and see if the place is empty, swept, and garnished. Day in and day out. And you understand why you need to pray on a daily basis. Because that old devil, he likes to work in reverse psychology. I'm sorry, Garrett ain't here. It's just you, buddy. And that old devil likes to come in and say, man, you're the man, I'm telling you. I've been trying to get you, and you're not giving me any room. And you know what I noticed? This is how strong you are, man. This is what I noticed. Man, you ain't even praying every day, and you're whipping me. I'm working on you Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday. I know you had a good Sunday night, but dude, come on. You didn't even pray Monday and Tuesday, and you're putting me to shame. And now here you are at dead, dull, boring Bible study on Wednesday night. Oh, I don't know if I can get you. I think you're too good for me. I don't know that I'm going to be able to get you. You're a good guy, I'm telling you. I got my eye on you. I'm going to keep trying. But man, you got it together. I'm just telling you right now, you don't have it together. You're not too good. Don't buy into that lie from hell. Hell telling you, oh, you're whipping me and you didn't even have to pray on Monday and Tuesday, making you feel good about yourself. And here you all walking around thinking, I don't have to pray Monday and Tuesday and I can whip the devil. I don't have to pray Thursday and Friday. I can whip the devil. Saturday. Yeah, that preacher up there telling me I need to be praying every day. I don't have to pray every day. I whip the devil whenever I want to. It's exactly what he wants you to think. Exactly what he wants you to think. That doesn't mean that we pray every day, but we sure need to try. We need to put somebody says, I just don't have time. I can't find time. You're not going to find time. You're not going to find time. You're going to have to make time. Ooh, Jesus. Thought just come to me. There are people, Marcus and I were talking about one side of this just a little while ago. There are people that are more interested in being millionaires than people in church are interested in talking to God. Because you find those people that are business oriented and that are all about money and they're going to be a millionaire and stuff, you're not going to find them in bed at 5 o'clock in the morning. They're out. They already got stuff going. They're working on stuff. They're putting stuff together because they know at 7 o'clock when people start showing up, we got to start making money. Got to start making money. And when the bell rings at 5 o'clock or 3:30 or whatever it is and everybody else goes home, that guy that's looking to make $1 million, he ain't stopping. He takes work home with him. And he's working on work, and his wife is sitting there griping at him, telling him all of this and stuff. And he's saying, look, you got plenty of money in the bank account. You ought to be leaving me alone. And then Saturday, he's working. Sunday, he's already thinking about stuff, and he has very little prayer time. And then we got Christians, hey, man, cutting loud on God. Not as interested in being victorious, not as interested in seeing souls saved as the millionaire is, as making a little bit of money. Praise God. Hallelujah. That was free. I just thought of that. But I'm just simply saying, you're not going to find time to pray. You've got to make time. You've got to make time to pray because the devil's going to cause you to be busy. And so the discipline of your thought life is what brings about the peace of God, which is going to keep your heart. The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And you say, well, how do I keep my heart? Paul told us right here that if we pray with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, amen, that the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall be able to keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. And then the responsibility is you have got to control what you think. If you sit there and meditate on everything that's wrong in your life, don't be surprised, amen, when you're negative Nancy. Amen. Nobody's Nancy. We don't have a sister Nancy in here yet. Praise God. In the future, I'm going to pray through Nancy. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I just use that. All right. But don't be surprised when everything in your life is negative, negative, negative. When you live in the negative and you think in the negative, let me rephrase that. When you're always thinking in the negative, you're going to live in the negative. And somehow or another, you got to stop that.
Amen. Listen to me today. You've got to stop that. And I know there are people say, but you don't know how overwhelmed I am. I just want to say you're not as overwhelmed as you think that you are, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't care if you're 100 foot, amen, under problems, dilemmas, when it's all said and done and you're on streets of gold, you've got it a whole lot better than everybody else had it. Amen. When you just begin to think about the goodness of God and everything that he's done for you, the devil wants to magnify the negative. He wants to accentuate, amen, the negative. Somehow or another, you've got to take this, amen, by the word of God. And the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Amen. You need to hear me today. You need to cast down imaginations. That word cast down doesn't simply mean to drop it, but it means to destroy it. Amen. To annihilate it. That imagination that is running in your mind, you need to take it and throw it down and bust it to a billion pieces. You've got a responsibility to cast down imaginations. Praise God. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Praise God. We cannot afford to live in the world of assumption. And there are so many times that I'll be thinking about things and problems and situations and such. And the Lord just checks me. And I feel that check in the Holy Ghost and say, what are the facts? What are the facts? I'm working on a course right now, a college course on proper hermeneutics. I didn't even know that Herman was a part of theology, but I guess he is. And so I'm working on proper hermeneutics, and that is the interpretation of Scripture, discerning interpretation of Scripture. And the one thing that they teach you is to step back and to examine the facts. And so, number one, the first thing that we have to consider, is it Old Testament or New Testament? Somebody said, well, who cares? That's very essential, because Old Testament is law, New Testament is grace. And so you can get off and you can get things wrong because that you interpreted it according to law and not according to grace. And you can get messed up in that. And so that's the first thing. Say, okay, well, that's easy. That's, you know, where that blank page is in the Bible. You know, everything to the left is Old Testament. Everything to the right is New Testament. And then you got to examine reality and the facts of things. And the situations, the hardcore things of it all. And when you can do that, and when you can discern all of that correctly, then we can take and we can look at the river that's going to see how we apply this to our life, because that's what we've got to get over. And so we begin to take that, and we can assess the width and the depth of the river and stuff, and we can realize the bridge that's got to be built, the principles of theology that'll take us over that to get us to proper interpretation and in application of stuff. And so it's the same way in life, that there are so many things. We get so worked up so many times over nothing. He said, well, I wish what I was and worked up was nothing. Let's step back and examine the facts. And let's take out all assumptions. You know that part that says, well, I don't think she likes me. That's an assumption. Well, I don't think he cares for me. That's an assumption. Oh, no, that's facts. That is an assumption. Did you go up to him and ask him, do you care for me? Brother Hunter, do you like me? Do you care for me? Because that's where the devil likes to work.
The devil likes to stir up strife, emulation, problems. He likes to stir up things that really not even there. And I'm not saying that what we go through at times is just imagination or assumption. I'm simply saying that when we come to these places in our life, we have to step back and assess what is factual and what is assumptive. If it's factual, it's factual. I can't change it. But if it's assumptive, let's cut it off and let's deal with reality. Because that's where the devil likes to. The battle is right here in your mind. That's where the battle is going on. You know why? Because that's the computer part of everything. That's where you're computing and processing everything. Amen. That's where you're declaring your actions. Well, I think I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to all that. That's happening right here. And if the devil can get in the control center of all things, I'm telling you, I could preach for a long time here today. Amen. And we can say, well, the heart is the seat of the emotion. Amen. But did you understand that there are times that thoughts and stuff are born in the heart? There is scripture that declares that. Amen. That thoughts can be born in the heart. And then they finally come. You think to yourself, where did that thought come from? Amen. From the heart. Amen. Springs forth all of these things. Adulteries and murders and this and that and all that. It comes from the heart. And here you are sitting here thinking to yourself, where did that thought come from? Right here, honey, that's where that thought come from. And we've got to understand that. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be, mean or anything. I'm trying to open our eyes to that's where the devil wants. Amen. The devil wants to stir up strife, and the devil wants to do these things. Amen. And it's going to start in our mind, in our heart. Amen. And he's trying to cause division and all of these, things that are there. And the Bible said that we are to cast down imaginations and every thought that is against the obedience of Christ. Or every, I got that all wrong here. He said to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And then it says this, and bringing into captivity, amen, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. You got to bring into captivity. I'm not saying just bring the thought in, amen, but that word captivity is there on purpose. We could think about wildlife traps that are put out to catch the raccoon, to catch the possum, to catch the skunk, amen, to catch the armadillo, to catch this, to catch that. Amen. We could think about the dog catcher that's got the pin in the back of his truck, and he's got the long stick with the rope and wraps it around the dog's neck and pulls the noose and puts him into that pin and takes him and puts him into captivity. Amen. We could talk about a problem that many of the Southerners know all about, especially down in Texas, called the feral hogs. And they have got pins that are set up with automatic gates, and all these hogs go in, and it triggers a camera on an app, and then the person can take a look at that, and he can see when the pin is full, and he can push it, and the gate falls down, and he's captured all of these hogs. Why? Hey man, I'm just being blunt and I'm being honest, because they breed like little rabbits, and you've got all these piglets going everywhere, and the farmers, they're tearing up all the ground. Amen. They're tearing up the crops, ruining the ground, and the farmers are losing it. And there for a while, they said, everybody come kill a hog. And then they decided they were going to make money out of it. And you kill a hog, you got to pay $100 and all these. But they cannot do
away with the population. No matter what they do, they continue to populate and continue to go crazy to the point that they put people in helicopters and just mow them down and put them in pens and just slaughter them. Why? They're destructive. They tear up the fence. They tear up the crops. They tear up the ground. They tear up all other things that are around there. You can't keep anything because they're a nuisance. And that's the way the devil likes to run around in your life. And here you are putting out this fire, and he's starting this fire. Amen. And he's causing this thought to breed, and it produces thoughts of depression and all of this. And the Lord is speaking here, and he said, some way or another, you've got to bring these thoughts into captivity. Oh, no, devil, you don't get free reign in my life. Oh, no, devil, you don't have free reign in my mind. I'm going to God, and I'm going to pray, and he's going to provide the peace that passes understanding, and I'm going to get the victory. And hell shakes and shudders because he knows what happens when the child of God gets victory. We got to pray. We got to pray. We got to pray. Amen. Hell does not want you to have a revelation that it is that easy. Amen. I'm not saying that prayer is always easy. And why is it not easy? Because the devil knows that your answer is involved in prayer. You're going to feel sick when it's time to pray. You're going to feel tired when it's time to pray. You're going to feel overwhelmed when it's time to pray. You're going to think about everything when it's time to pray. Think about problems when it's time to pray. But when it's time to pray, it's time to take those problems to God. It's time to make our petition known unto him and to pray in faith, believing, building up ourselves on our most precious faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Let's stand here tonight. That's the way that God wants us to pray. God doesn't want us to pray in an anemic fashion.
Yeah.
Because prayer is the war raging. The war being won. And I know that worship is involved in that places. But worship can also be a type of prayer. When we get involved in thanksgiving, thank you, God, for hearing my prayers. Don't expect just to be able to come and just explode in prayer in the first 5 minutes, because the enemy knows the potential of prayer, and he's going to be there to meet you. And if he can't make you tired, if he can't control your thought process and overwhelm you with the cares of life and the cares of the day and jobs and all those other things, then he's going to work on you however that he can. However that he can. A child of God, when you bow your knees to pray, when you enter into the sanctuary to truly pray, not take a position, not sit around in meditation, when you truly enter that arena to pray, you are standing at the throne of God, and your answer is this close. You've got God's attention. I was praying today, praying for Jameson this afternoon. And as I was praying, there was scripture that was coming to me. I went and picked up one of these Bibles that's on the front row. I took it over here to the altar and I opened it up. And I started opening it up to some promises that God has made. I don't need to remind God
But I said, God, right here in your word, it says this and this. I'm not only telling God that I know that it's in his word, I'm telling the devil I know that it's in God's word. I'm not only telling the devil I know it's in God's word, I'm telling Mark Cowan I know it's in God's word. And sometimes you need that confirmation. Sometimes you need, amen, just that positive thing that is in you. And you start reading the word of God, and all of a sudden the word of God comes alive. And here you are saying, God, your word says this. And you're thinking, duh, it does. It says this. That's right, it does. It says this. And all of a sudden you got confidence. You got confidence. Confidence. That's that part of praying to God. Restricted to the New Testament to mean prayer to God. Taking cognizance of God's power and sufficiency. God, you can do this. And when we come in on Friday, that's the way we need to be praying. We need to be praying with confidence, cognizance that God has the sufficiency and the power, the ability to do it. We don't have to come in and pray, God, pretty please. We don't necessarily have to beg God. Pray with confidence. When you begin to pray for your lost parents, spouses, children, friends, family, pray with confidence. God, I know you're able. I don't know how that you're going to do it, but I know that you're able. And God, I'm putting them in your hand because you have the sufficiency to take care of it. Again, I'm not saying go around and start commanding God to do this and commanding God to do that. But I'm praying, I'm saying, God, I know you want revival more than I want revival. I know you want to see the harvest saved more than I want to see the harvest saved. I know you want to save people more than I want to save people. And I'm asking you, God, not only to do it, but to use me to do it. Direct my paths and help me. Hallelujah. There's something about it. You begin to pray and 5 minutes goes by, maybe 10, 20, or 30. Somewhere in that prayer meeting, it's like somebody flipped the light switch on. It's like somebody pulled the lever and it's all of a sudden. And you feel that connection. God's not on long distance call. He's right there. And you can pray with confidence. And as you're praying with prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, all of a sudden, the peace of God that passes logic, the peace of God that passes education, the peace of God that passes understanding, begins to take control. And the Bible says it keeps your heart and your mind. Keep your heart with all diligence. How are you going to do it? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Because when you pray in the Holy Ghost, the peace of God that passes understanding comes in and takes over and controls and keeps your mind and your heart. And when that happens, then you have to, whatsoever things are honest and just and pure, lovely, good report. That needs to be a scripture that you file away. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 8. I memorized that back in Sunday school, back when I was a kid. It was one of my memory verses. Finally, my brethren, and here I am many years later. Sometimes I get the order mixed up, but it's there buried. And I know if it's pure and just, if it's holy, if it's lovely, if it's of a good report, I need to think on these things. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Cast down imagination, 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse 5. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity, put it in the trap. Shut the door. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It goes on further. It says, and having a readiness to revenge all your disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When I think of revenge, I don't think of anything pure, pretty. When I think of revenge, I don't think of anything half-hearted. When I think of revenge, I think somebody's fixing to go down. Revenge isn't pretty. Revenge is nasty. It's dirty. And God said, and that's the kind of thought process that you having a readiness to revenge all your disobedience. Second Corinthians chapter number 7, verse number 11, talking about the fruits of repentance. And he said, yea, what revenge. Devil, you've ruled my life long enough. I'm fixing to take revenge. I know vengeance is the Lord's, and he will repay. But just as much as I gave to that world, I'm fixing to give just as much to God and more. Hallelujah. Fixing to turn all of this around. In Jesus' name. It starts in prayer. Starts in prayer. Pray. Pray until you feel that connection. Pray, prayer, and supplication with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, will keep your heart and your mind. Thank God for that. Are you ready to pray? Are we ready to pray? I'm telling you, church, when the church decides it's time to pray, hell's going to come. But that doesn't cause us to sit back and say, okay, we won't pray. No, no, it's time to fire up. Too many lost people out there. It's time to fire up. It's time to pray. And that's why we're coming Friday. That's why we're coming Friday. I know Brother Tom isn't here tonight, but he told me he wants to kick it off. Friday morning, he's going to be here at 5 a.m.
Right.
I got to remind him. Friday, he's going to be here at 5 a.m. praying. 6 o'clock, new convert, Brother Michael's going to be here praying. Hallelujah. And all through the day, the saints of God are going to come in. And we're going to pray. And we're going to watch and see what God's going to do.
Yes.
But we're going to walk out with confidence. Because the peace of God that passes understanding is going to rule and control. Amen. I think it would be good if we just go ahead and start right now. Amen. That you would come to this front and you would make a declaration. God, help me to pray like I need to pray. Help me, O Lord Jesus, to get to that point. Help me, O God, to make a commitment to pray like I need to pray. Hallelujah. I don't want to just assume a position. I don't want to just take role. Say, yes, I prayed today. But I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference in my life. I want to make a difference in somebody else's life. I want to make a difference in our service. I want to make a difference in our church. I want to make a difference in the life of sinners. I want to make a difference in this city.
I want this to be a place of prayer. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I believe that this is going to become a natural thing at some point in some time. That just all through the day, people are not going to have an appointment to come pray. They're going to have an appointment with God and they're just going to show up. I'm telling you, it's already happening. It's already happening. Hey, man, there are times when I have walked in here and I found people in the sanctuary praying. You didn't have to come, hey, man, but you felt the unction of God drawing you to pray, knowing that it's time to pray. Hallelujah. Go ahead and respond to that. That's God helping you. That's God helping the church. And it's going to happen more and more and more and more. People making time to pray, coming to the church to pray, kneeling down at their home and praying, shutting all the doors of activity on the outside, affecting the mind, closing out all of those things and getting into a place of prayer and praying. And all of a sudden, peace is going to come. Anxiety is going to have to leave. Depression and disturbance is going to have to vanish away. You say it's going to leave and it's going to always be gone. I didn't say that the answer was going to be there, but a peace that passes understanding. Don't know why I've got a peace about this, but I just do. I don't know what's going to happen. Don't know how it's going to turn out, but I've just got a peace about it. I'm not going to let the devil rule my mind, amen, with fear and torment and all of these things. I'm taking control of it, amen, through the access of prayer, access to God. I'm taking control and praying about it.